are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're here on a Monday, and it is a pregame Monday episode, which is sort of an odd feeling. 49ers playing Monday night football tonight in Lambeau Field, taking on the Green Bay Packers. We're going to look into some Pro Football Focus numbers and some key matchups here in this Monday night contest. At the end of the show, got to look at the injury report as well. And some trade rumors popped up on Sunday. There's a couple of stats I want to talk about that happened from Sunday football. But in particular, some trade rumors, again, involving the Oakland Raiders. It looks like a fire sale over there. The Arizona Cardinals are rumored to be dangling a few players. So I want to talk about some of that stuff. I've talked about it a little bit on Twitter, but I want to bring it up and talk a little bit more about some of those possibilities here on the show. On this Monday episode, we've got an extra day to talk about stuff before we get to the action. And then, of course, I'll be back on Tuesday with a rapid react show, breaking down everything I saw from the Monday night football game in Green Bay. We've got the crossover pod coming up, as it usually is, all along the Locked On Podcast Network on Wednesday's show. We'll be talking to Brad Bearmotter, host of Locked On Rams, about the Week 7 matchup. And then we'll have a guest to be decided for Thursday's show. And then we'll bring back the weekly wink on Friday, get into the mailbag a little bit more, and talk to Nick Winkler about everything that's going on with the 49ers. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can go to LockedOn49ers.com, find all kinds of articles from myself, from Chris Wilson, from John Chick, and of course, all of the podcasts are there too. You can find where to subscribe and links there. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the podcast at LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, we've got a Facebook and Instagram page and all that kind of stuff. Oh, and for those of you who do the Amazon Alexa thing, you can always ask Alexa to play Locked On 49ers podcast. You could ask the Google machine to play the Locked On 49ers podcast. But we also have Alexa Flash Briefing, so you can get a quick glimpse of 49ers news daily as well. Just ask Alexa to play the 49ers Flash Briefing. From myself here at Locked On 49ers. So where do we begin? Let's start with the NFL. I'm going to start this off with, I think, the stat of the day from the NFL Sunday, which is something that blows my mind, and it references a former 49er that you are all familiar with and familiar with his style of play. But this is a stat thrown out there by Bill Barnwell of ESPN, and it has to do with Bill's quarterback, Nathan Peterman, who came in to replace Josh Allen, who hurt his elbow on Sunday. Peterman would come in and go 6 for 12 with a touchdown and two interceptions. So why is that important? Well, he's on a record pace in his short NFL career throwing interceptions. He had that famous game last year where he threw a ton of picks. What was it? Did he throw, five interceptions in a game last year starting for the Bills? And of course, they went on to draft Josh Allen, who got hurt in this game. So in the second half, Nathan Peterman made another appearance for the Bills, throwing a couple more interceptions. But here it is from Bill Barnwell. It's an amazing stat. Nathan Peterman now has 10 interceptions on 82 career pass attempts for an interception rate of 12.2. The best interception rate over that time frame is Alex Smith, who's at 1%. So Peterman would have to throw his next 931 consecutive passes without throwing an interception to top Alex Smith's interception rate. Over one out of every 10 passes he throws is picked off. The best interception rate in the league, Alex Smith, which is not surprising to 49ers fans who were frustrated with his lack of taking chances with the football. Check down Charlie is sometimes, as Alex Smith is known, 1% interception rate. So flip that. Smith, looking at the other way, Alex Smith could throw interceptions on each and every one of his next 91 pass attempts and still have a better interception rate than Nathan Peterman. That's awesome. That's a great stat. I love that. So Nathan Peterman, throwing a lot of picks. Not good. Not a good situation there in Buffalo if he's their quarterback for a while. I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen's elbow and if that's going to keep him out for a while. Let's move on to the other NFL news that's going on that particularly will be an entertaining talking point for 49ers fans, and that is the trade rumors swirling around the NFL. And the latest name on the list is Amari Cooper, former first-round pick, number 4 overall in 2015 for the Oakland Raiders. And apparently he's on the block, and they're just having a straight-up fire sale going on in Oakland now, and Gruden just wants all of his guys in. And it's pretty clear he's going to probably fire Reggie McKenzie, the GM, who did a pretty good job in Oakland building something. And they're going to tear that whole thing down before they move to Las Vegas is what it looks like. So Amari Cooper is next on the list. Carl Joseph was already a guy who's been benched and inactive a lot. 2016 first round safety. So there's another name that could be had. And then the 27, so three in a row, 15, 16, and 2017 first round pick, Garyon Conley, the cornerback, who is also not starting in favor of some pretty rough veterans. Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, Leon Hall, 49ers fans know about. Those guys are starting over second-year guy Garyon Conley, who missed most of his rookie year last year with injury. Had to deal with some off-field stuff as well. And so, all three of those guys could be had, I guess. And Amari Cooper is the name that really interested 49ers fans, and I got hit up by a bunch of people on Twitter asking about Amari Cooper and what I thought about it, and if the 49ers should be making calls Oakland's way to try to procure the services of Amari Cooper. And I think absolutely. I think the 49ers either have already or will be or should be making calls that way, finding out what it really would cost for Amari Cooper. Now, what is that cost, and what would I give up? What do I think is too much, too little to give up for Amari Cooper? Well, I don't think he's going to be somebody who commands the Khalil Mack stuff. If the Raiders are just trading guys because, look, these are former first-rounders, we think we're going to get a bunch of first-rounders back, well, that's not going to happen with those names I've mentioned. Amari Cooper, probably the most valuable of those guys, even though he's going to be a free agent after the 2019 season, similar to Eric Armstead, who was also drafted in 2015, playing the 2019 season on that fifth-year option that was picked up by his current team. And you know, obviously the 49ers in the case of Eric Armstead and the Raiders in the case of Amari Cooper. So he's only got 1 year left after this, so that dampens his trade value. He's had a case of the dropsies since he's been in the NFL. So for those of you who are a little bit queasy when it comes to wide receivers and drops, Amari Cooper might not be your guy. But he is immensely talented. I mean, 6'1", 12, I think, is what he was coming out of college. He'd instantly be the biggest wide receiver on the 49ers roster, but also short area quickness he's got, long speed, ran a 4.42 coming out. He's a pretty good wide receiver, and he would instantly be the best wide receiver for the 49ers. And depending on how those drops worked out, he could be someone the 49ers could really sign long term and be a big piece. But he's also obviously not doing enough for the Raiders for them to think that they want to keep him around as a long-term piece, even though he's still a very young player. He's only 24 years old. He was a true junior coming out of Alabama in 2015. To put his age into perspective, a little bit of an older prospect, I know, but for the Rams, if we're just comparing Coopers here, a Cooper Kupp wide receiver, second-year wide receiver for the Rams, is a year older than Amari Cooper, even though Amari Cooper was two draft classes before. So Amari Cooper in his fourth year is a year younger than Cooper Kupp, who's in his second year. So that's how young Amari Cooper still is and how old of a prospect Cooper Kupp is. But and C.J. Beathard's similar. He was an older prospect, you know, fifth-year senior coming out, older guy, already, you know, 25 as a rookie, I think. So also turning 26, I believe, this year is C.J. Beathard. So similar story. Amari Cooper younger than both those guys who are in their second season. So young receiver still has a lot. I think he still hasn't reached his ceiling. He came out on fire in his first 2 years, over 1,000 yards receiving, both in 2015, 2016, and then it was 2017, I believe, where he really started to have a case of the dropsies, and this year has been hit or miss. He had one game with over 100 yards, maybe two games with over 100 yards, and then less than 18 yards, I think, in all the rest of his games. So all of his production this year has come in two games. He was targeted one time on Sunday And then he ended up getting knocked out. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit, and now he's in concussion protocol. So that might also throw a wrench in the works of a potential trade. He would have to be healthy and probably pass a physical and be able to clear concussion protocol before he would be traded, you know, depending on the team, depending on what's going on. So how much would it cost for Amari Cooper? That's a tough question. I would probably say for the 49ers' sake, with where they're at and what draft picks they have, I think that third rounder that's looking like it's going to be a very high third rounder would be about as much as I'd be willing to go for the 49ers to make an offer for Amari Cooper, throw in a player maybe or something like that. But you start talking about a second rounder, which is practically a first rounder at this point, and I think it gets a little rich. So depending on what the Raiders get from other teams, if they're ready to move on from him and a third rounder gets it done, I think the 49ers could have a really good shot at trading for Amari Cooper. But maybe a team like the Cowboys that are still in it, that need some help at wide receiver, maybe they would be a team that would be willing to throw a second rounder in there, and maybe they could get a deal done. So that's where I'm at, and I don't know how many teams are willing to give up a bunch for Amari Cooper, but I think that third round pick, maybe a player, I don't know what player the 49ers would want, a player like Solomon Thomas, I think would have a lot of value. I don't even know if I'd throw a third rounder in with Solomon Thomas just because he's 2 years younger and obviously still an immensely talented guy. So it depends a lot on what John Gruden wants. And I mean, if John Gruden just loves veterans, maybe he wants Pierre Garçon. I have no idea. I wouldn't think Pierre Garçon would have a ton of trade value, but apparently those are the types of players that John Gruden wants to roll with right now. So who knows? I don't know what Gruden's up to, but I think the 49ers should make a call. I don't know if it's likely that a deal would happen, but definitely somebody. It's an interesting name out there for the 49ers and could potentially be that guy who becomes a number one wide receiver and really would take a huge need off the list for the 49ers in the 2019 draft. But I don't think I could go higher than a third rounder and a player for Amari Cooper right now. So I got to get to the injury report, going to look into some statistics, some PFF numbers, and some other things in the third segment of the show. But first, I've got to let you guys know about MyBookie. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win on Sundays. I don't know who's going to win on Monday. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people about MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. One of the things I love about MyBookie is it's, you know, if you're just not the gambling type, you're not that the sports book guy who just sits in the sports book all day and is really into the gambling side of things, maybe you're more of a fantasy guy, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. Join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Your first deposit, 100% up to $1,000. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Just visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. They will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. On to the injury report here for the 49ers. We'll look at the Packers injury report as well. And both of these are growing. The 49ers is getting ridiculous. 17 players right now on the injury report for the 49ers, which is basically a third of the roster. So a third of the 49ers roster on the injury report right now. Some of it's good news. Some of the guys have been able to be full participants in a practice. And I don't even know how to attack this thing. So let's just go alphabetical here down the list. And one of the biggest names on this list right now for the 49ers is running back Matt Breida, who's still leads the league in yards per carry at 7.5. And if he could just get on the field and carry the ball more, I'm sure that number would come down a little bit. But man, he's been a revelation for the 49ers, been a big part of the limited success that the offense has had this year. And Matt Breida has been upgraded from, he was doubtful early in the week. He is now questionable. He's going to be a game time decision for the 49ers, dealing with both ankle and shoulder injuries now. He even had a knee injury earlier in the year in Kansas City. So multiple injuries Matt Breida is dealing with, but he did get in a limited session of practice. He didn't practice all week until Saturday, where he did have a limited practice and has now been upgraded to questionable. He will be a game time decision Monday night. Garrett Celek's on the list. He was a full participant. He's definitely going to play. Same with Reuben Foster. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. He basically couldn't use his shoulder last Sunday, but he did get in a full practice on Saturday, so he looks good to go. Limited in practice, Pierre Garçon. He's got shoulder and knee injuries. Did briefly leave the game last Sunday, came back. He's limited. He is now listed as questionable for Monday. Joshua Garnett, he had that dislocated toe a while back. He's full practice all week. He's ready to play. If he's going to be active or not, I have no idea, but he is healthy and ready to go now. Marquise Goodwin, hamstring and quad injuries. He was a full practice participant all week long. He looks like he's going to be ready to go on Monday night. Let's move on to George Kittle, who popped up on the injury report with a knee injury. He's been limited all week, and he's listed as questionable. Now, that's a rough one if he can't go. I thought he might be upgraded and end up practicing fully this week, but he did not. So hopefully George Kittle is going to be ready to go in Green Bay. Tackle Mike McGlinchey, who's going to come up in the third segment talking about Pro Football Focus. Mike McGlinchey really stepping up in his rookie season now for the 49ers. He's a full participant. He's ready to go against the Packers on Monday Night Football. Mike Person, also looking very good as a guard. I think he's a top 10 guard as far as PFF is concerned. A little teaser there. He was limited in practice with his knee, but he's questionable. It looks like he's probably going to be able to go. Dante Pettis still out with his knee injury. Weston Richburg nursing a knee. He was limited in practice. He's questionable to go. I also assume he is going to play. Richard Sherman was a full participant with his calf injury. He went last week. He will probably go this week, and he will almost 100% go this week, full participant. That's good news. Joe Staley, limited in practice, questionable. Like the other offensive linemen, those guys are tough, man. They'll get out there and play. Joe Staley's not going to miss this one against the Packers on Monday Night Football. Jaquaski Tartt, fully participated all week. He's looking good to go. Trent Taylor is doubtful. And this one is where I think this is going to be Richie James' best opportunity to play this season for the 49ers if Trent Taylor can't go. And right now, it does not look good. Did not practice all week with his back injury. Some stuff flared up there. He had off-season back surgery. And so he is doubtful. And if he doesn't play, we might see a full dose of Richie James in the slot, which is a really good fit for him and a place I think he'll play a lot in the NFL. And so, yeah. Free Richie James. We might see a little bit more of him. We saw him playing the X position last week. Getting into the slot, I think, might benefit him even a little more, and I think he's been practicing more in the slot most of the offseason and the regular season getting ready for this, so might be a little bit of a breakout game for Richie James potentially in prime time on Monday Night Football if Trent Taylor cannot go with that back injury. Jimmy Ward, he's got a hamstring. He was practicing fully this week. He looks good. And then Kaywan Williams has some sort of an illness, not practicing, he's questionable to go. So that just popped up on Saturday for Kaywan Williams. So he's dealing with a little bit something. He's a little sick, and so he's going to be questionable. So see if he goes, that would be rough if he can't play in the slot. If he cannot go in the slot, I'm wondering if DJ Reed will jump down and get a lot of reps as a slot cornerback, and then you know that would leave Adrian Colbert to be playing the free safety, and hopefully Adrian Colbert is back there at center field and stays in center field and doesn't let a 75-yard bomb go over his head for really no reason, like against the Cardinals on the first play of the game, which was really a bummer of a start for the 49ers defense. So I'll be watching Adrian Colbert. He needs to have a bounce-back game there for the 49ers. Looking at the other side of things for the Green Bay Packers, their injury report grew quite a bit as well. Doesn't look like anybody is going to be out. Aaron Rodgers is on the report, but he fully practiced on Friday and Saturday. He's going to play. He's nursing that knee injury. He's been hobbling around a little bit this season, but he was even able to scramble around and make plays against the Lions last week. So Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers, and that's just going to be a tough matchup for the 49ers anytime you're playing against a guy like that. Also questionable for the Packers, Jair Alexander, the rookie cornerback's got a groin injury. He was limited all week. Geronimo Allison looks like he's going to have a chance to go. He is questionable. He didn't play last week. And then all of those rookie wide receivers, they drafted three rookie wide receivers in Green Bay this year. Equanimeous St. Brown, who's also a shadow 49er, a player I like a lot, 6'5", 215 with speed. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is MVS for short, who is also a monster of a dude, 6'4", ran 4.3s, 4.4. They drafted some freaks and some big-bodied guys. He's going to have a chance to play, and he might start the game, actually, because Randall Cobb... Randall Cobb looking questionable. I thought he was going to be out, so he's questionable, too. So maybe those rookies won't get much play if Cobb, Allison, and, of course, Devontae Adams is already going to be in there. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers' number one guy. Jimmy Graham, he was a full participant. Apparently, he didn't practice on Thursday with the knee, but he's going to play. Kevin King, rookie cornerback, is going to play. Justin McCray, the guard, he's in there, questionable. Jason Spriggs, questionable. And Jermaine Whitehead, questionable. So they've got some guys on the injury report, but nothing nearly as bad as what the 49ers are dealing with right now. And those wide receivers looking like they're starting to get healthy for the Packers. So that is the injury report as of late Sunday night for the Monday night football matchup there. I want to get to some Pro Football Focus stats here momentarily. And if your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, your company could be mentioned right now. Local and national sponsorships are available. You can target those 49ers fans right here on the podcast. You can advertise on all the NFL podcasts. There's NBA podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. And podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demographic is 98% males, with more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast. Email me at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Okay, real quick before we get out of here, there is some Pro Football Focus numbers I want to talk about here with this matchup with the Packers. And I forgot to mention earlier, not only are the Oakland Raiders talking trade and maybe shopping a few guys, I didn't even mention that the Arizona Cardinals are also shopping a few players. I did want to mention Hassan Reddick, who's been playing linebacker for the Cardinals, and their other linebacker, Deion Buchanan, both potentially on the block for Arizona. I saw someone talk about Patrick Peterson. I haven't really heard so much about Patrick Peterson being available, but if you're going to start selling off assets, I would think Patrick Peterson could get you something back, and if you're trying to go young anyways, maybe some veterans are the players you're trying to trade. But I don't know. I'd be a little bit more surprised if Patrick Peterson is going to go anywhere, even though he is getting up there in age. But he's still one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and I think he's going to pop up on one of these statistics I've got here with Pro Football Focus, talking about stud corners in the league. Hassan Reddick, linebacker. Deion Buchanan, linebacker. The thing with those two players is they're both really playing out of position, I think, for the Cardinals right now. Hassan Reddick's been playing a standard inside linebacker type of guy, and I don't think he's that guy. He's more of an edge player. I think he'd be a perfect fit at Sam linebacker for the 49ers, a player that could play a little bit in space. He can chase down ball carriers, can do a little cover stuff, get into the flats and cover. He's a super athletic guy, but he's a good pass rusher, so I think you're wasting him just playing him in a normal off-ball linebacker spot. If he played Sam linebacker like in the 49ers scheme or maybe in a 3-4 defense as an outside linebacker, you'd have that opportunity. He could set the edge. He could get after the quarterback. He could still do some other stuff on base downs, but would really be going after the quarterback on those passing downs and when teams are spreading out or on third down. So Hassan Reddick is an interesting one to me, a former first-round pick. A lot of former first-round picks teams are trying to get rid of right now. Hassan Reddick, I would absolutely be interested for the 49ers. Deion Buchanan, maybe not as much. He was really good the first couple of years in the league at that money backer spot. He's sort of an oversized safety, and they have him playing every down linebacker. And again, I think it's just not the best fit. So, you know, potentially strong safety, I think, is where he should play, but he's bulked up to play linebacker. I don't know. I don't love the fit for the 49ers. And so, but Hassan Reddick is the name that really is interesting to me out there. Thinking of names, who are some young players around the league that the 49ers could target that isn't a player that they're necessarily targeting to help them out in 2018, but someone that could make an impact down the line? You know, I could see the 49ers making some trade for some players that could help them in 2019, 2020, you know, and beyond. I think those kind of trades might make sense, especially if you're getting a player for very cheap or a conditional pick or a late round pick. And a lot of the names we've talked about today are younger players that still, I mean, the Raiders, they just, I don't know what the Raiders are doing. Just they're getting rid of all of the players, basically what the 49ers did, just gut the roster of the old GM stuff, But the Raiders are doing it while their old GM's still in-house in Reggie McKenzie. I don't know. It's crazy stuff. But Amari Cooper, very interesting name. Hassan Reddick, a very interesting name. All right, let's talk about some statistics here and some PFF numbers. Some of them are mind-blowing. Let's start with Richard Sherman there. I teased the Patrick Peterson stuff. So, and we talked about it a little bit on Wednesday's show with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. But I want to talk about this one statistic one more time. This is coverage snaps per reception allowed. So Richard Sherman has allowed a reception on every 146 coverage snaps this year. Far and away the best in the NFL. One reception per 146 snaps that he's played in coverage. The next closest guy is Aqib Talib with 20.8. And again, the Richard Sherman number was 146. So every 20 coverage snaps, Aqib Talib allows a reception. And fourth on that list is Patrick Peterson, 20.6. So you can see how far out in front Richard Sherman is in that one statistic, which is a couple of things. He's playing very well. And the other thing is he's not being tested at all. Teams are lining up and just throwing to the opposite side. So Monday Night Football, I expect it to be no different. I expect Davante Adams to line up opposite from Richard Sherman. I expect Davante to line up on the left side of the offense and Aaron Rodgers to target the left side all day long. And so it's going to be up to the rest of the 49ers' young secondary to be up to the challenge and make them start throwing the ball maybe Richard Sherman's way or make some plays, make them pay for throwing it their way. So Akella Witherspoon, Jimmy Ward, DJ Reed, both safeties, Tart and Colbert, the ball's going to be coming your way. So I want to see those guys step up. That's going to be a big thing to watch the rest of this year, because if the 49ers are losing and the guys on the other side aren't making plays, then Richard Sherman's almost wasted there, shutting things down from the left cornerback spot. Another player I want to talk about here is rookie Mike McGlinchey. I've talked about him a little bit this week, but PFF loves them some Mike McGlinchey, especially as a run blocker. So how's about this statistic? The top, well, first of all, let's start with this. The top graded rookie offensive lineman in 2018, Mike McGlinchey, has leapfrogged a few guys. He's up ahead of Frank Ragnow, Connor Williams, Quentin Nelson is up there, Will Hernandez is up there. First of all, those guys are all playing guard, and those are the rest of the top five. Mike McGlinchey has jumped all those guys. He is now 76.9 is his grade on the year. He's the number one graded offensive lineman via Pro Football Focus in 2018 now. So props to Mike McGlinchey. He's doing big things. And the 49ers definitely hit on that draft pick. Mike McGlinchey is going to be a good player. I think he can improve his pass blocking. His run blocking is already fantastic. And as witness to that, Mike McGlinchey was Team of the Week for Pro Football Focus. His 86.4 run blocking grade on the season is number one amongst tackles in the NFL. Of all tackles in the NFL. So that's pretty it's pretty awesome stuff there. And that's the reason, that's the main reason why Kyle Shanahan wanted to target him. And that was one of the things that Trent Brown struggled with a little bit. He was a good pass blocker, so big, so large, but not as good in Kyle Shanahan's scheme and in that outside zone and getting out on the move and blocking people, where that's where Mike McGlinchey shines. And he's been great at that just from the get-go. So awesome run blocker, improving as a pass blocker. And if he ends up moving over to left tackle and replacing Joe Staley after the 2019 season when Staley's contract ends, then the 49ers, I think, you know, did about as good as you can do with a top 10 pick. He may never be a superstar player, but he's a really good run blocker. And as long as he keeps improving as a pass blocker, I mean, you can't ask for more from a draft pick. Hit on your draft picks is the number one key. The 49ers hit on Mike McGlinchey. I think that's safe to say, at least this far into his young career. All right, we don't have a lot of time left. A couple other stats here. We already know how bad the 49ers have been at tackling. Second worst tackling team in the league. The Browns took over that mantle. The 49ers were the worst tackling team. They had a pretty good week last week. So now the most missed tackles is the Cleveland Browns. They have 33 missed tackles. The 49ers are in second place now with 27 missed tackles on the year. And C.J. Beathard. I think 49ers fans have seen this. His pocket presence hasn't been great, and he's struggling from a clean pocket, according to Pro Football Focus. He is ranked 31st in passer rating from a clean pocket, which is when you're supposed to be doing your best work. Not getting pressured, clean pocket, sitting back. He is ranked 31st in the league. The only guy worse here is Number 32 is Marcus Mariota, who has been a disaster in the pocket, running into sacks. The Ravens had 11 sacks against the Titans on Sunday. That's more than the 49ers have had all season long. The Ravens got that in one game. Marcus Mariota just feeling things when they're not there, running into sacks. The Titans are weird. Some weeks they look good. They've won some games, then they look awful and lost some games. I don't even know what to think about the Tennessee Titans right now. And the Bills have been that way. They've won a couple games, and then they look like the worst team in the league sometimes. And very interesting, though, C.J. Beathard, not only does he hold on to the ball too long and has maybe created pressure when it wasn't, when it didn't need to be there, if he'd have gotten rid of the ball quicker, checked it down, moved up in the pocket, moved around a little bit, sensed it better, but he's not even passing well when he's not getting pressured, when he does have a clean pocket, only an 81.7 quarterback rating, ranked 31st in the league. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. I left it on a bad note. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to bring up something that was really great. Another one here that's so important is the Aaron Rodgers thing, who's awesome on third down. Surprise. He's got the number one PFF grade for quarterbacks passing on third down. So that's great, with the 49ers not being able to get pressure on quarterbacks on third downs. And then, you know, some of the coverage lapses on the opposite side from Richard Sherman. So it could be a long day when you look at some of these numbers. And I think the number one matchup for me is going to be George Kittle. Who's going to be covering George Kittle? Because Kentrell Bryce hasn't had a great year at strong safety for the Packers. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix has been a little bit better. You know, he's more of a finesse player. He's more of a coverage guy there in center field. He's had a pretty good grade for the Packers at free safety this year. But Blake Martinez, 86.8. He's got a fantastic grade on the year for Pro Football Focus as a linebacker. And a lot of that is because of his coverage ability. So George Kittle versus Blake Martinez is going to be an interesting one. I think he's got the second highest coverage grade for linebackers in the NFL this year. So George Kittle versus Blake Martinez is a matchup. And maybe Blake Martinez's coverage grade is going to go down a little bit if he's going to try to cover George Kittle all day. But he's going to get some safety help as well, I'm sure. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a rapid react of that Monday night football contest in Green Bay versus the Packers from Lambeau Field. Should be a fun one. Love the vibe, the primetime vibe. A lot of these young players need to get exposed to that. So hopefully the 49ers don't lay an egg. They're competitive, and they find a way possibly to win that game and shock some people in prime time on the road in Green Bay. All right, talk to you guys Tuesday right here on Locked On 49ers.